Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Republicans will gain control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency next month. And that means Missouri Representative Jason Smith will become even more powerful, as he'll have a clear path as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee to reshape taxation and trade policy. But that clear path is still very narrow, since Republicans will hold one of the smallest majorities in the House in recent memory. And that means any GOP infighting could make an already heavy lift to extend and expand tax cuts implemented in 2017 even more challenging. Smith joins us from Washington, D.C. to talk about what to expect when Republicans gain their coveted trifecta in January. Smith represents Missouri's 8th Congressional District, which takes in Southeast Missouri and part of the St. Louis metro area. Congressman Smith, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
It's great to be with you, Jason.
Your top task in 2025 is revisiting tax cuts that were enacted in 2017. And there was a lot in this package, including reducing the individual and corporate tax rates, doubling the child tax credits, and zeroing out the tax penalty for not having health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Do you expect like a clean extension of some of these items, or could it be a more sweeping overhaul of how people are taxed?
You know, right now, my number one priority is addressing these expiring provisions of the 2017 tax cuts. If Congress does not act by the end of next year, every American will face a $4.6 trillion tax increase. As you said, the child tax credit will affect 40 million Americans. It gets slashed in half from $2,000 to $1,000. The guaranteed deduction, which the majority of Americans, in fact, 91%, 188 million, use to file their taxes, that gets cut in half, and then every individual rate goes up, just to name a few of those provisions. So since April, Jason, I set up 10 different tax teams within the Ways and Means Committee that has traveled to over 20 different states, meeting with stakeholders, doing site visits, listening sessions, to look at all the expiring provisions of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, but also all provisions of the tax code. Because this is a once in a generational time to be looking at the tax in a comprehensive way. So we've been doing a lot of work, but we're ready whenever this next Congress takes an effect to move forward.
It seems from your answer that it's going to be a combination of extending the 2017 tax cuts, but possibly adding new things. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. And some of the things that was in the 2017 Trump tax cuts, we're going to be looking at how can we modify to have the biggest bang for the buck. And so it's looking at what's expiring that worked. How should some things be modified? Should they just be extended? But there's also a lot of other tax provisions that we're looking at. For example, no tax on tips was something that President Trump campaigned on. It was also it's also in the Republican Party platform that was put in there in July at the National Convention. So that's a huge priority. He also campaigned on tax on Social Security benefits, overtime pay, lower tax rates for companies that do their manufacturing in the United States. So we're looking at every aspect of the code to figure out what is the most pro-growth tax legislation, economic package that we can move forward that helps working families, small businesses, and farmers, which that is my focus.
Let's stay on no taxes on tips. I've heard some people who are critical of that idea that if the proposal is not crafted in a tight way, it could incentivize high-wage workers like attorneys or accountants to ask for payments in forms of tips, and it could just be essentially a massive tax evasion scheme instead of helping people that work at diners or restaurants. What do you make of that argument, basically?
The devil's clearly in the details in any legislation or any policy that you implement. We've been looking and analyzing different definitions of tip workers. And in this legislation, it's going to have to be specific in regards to making sure it prevents people, you know, that are abusing the system and changing it. We're looking at helping the true working class Americans who are waiting tables, who are cutting your hair, who are taking your luggage up at the hotel. I mean, all true tip employees, the definitions are going to have to be clear, and we're working on that right now.
You mentioned the child tax credit. One of your colleagues from the Missouri delegation, Senator Josh Hawley, recently talked about his desire to raise the child tax credit from $2,000 a child to $5,000 a child. And I know that Vice President-elect J.D. Vance has also expressed interest in boosting the child tax credit as well. But as you know, because we talked about this subject earlier this year, even modest increases to the child tax credit often engender opposition within your own caucus. So how realistic is it to get a substantial boost in this incentive?
So I'm a huge advocate of the child tax credit. It's something that I fought for in 2017 in the original Trump tax cuts to double the child tax credit from $1,000 to $2,000, which is the highest at that time. But I like to remind my colleagues, the Republican Party in 1996 are the ones who created the child tax credit. You need to embrace this. This is a very important provision for working families. And the debate that's going on right now is how much to raise it or to raise it. I don't know what that number is going to be, but just think about this. The child tax credit was $2,000 in 2017. And it was not indexed for inflation. If you just indexed it for inflation over the last 7 years, it should be over $2,500 just because of inflation. So these are things Congress is going to have to work at. Is $2,500 appropriate? Is $5,000 appropriate? And then we're going to have to find the balance. The child tax credit is a very expensive hit to the federal budget. About It can cost several hundred billion dollars per year. So it's something that we have to weigh and measure all the different possibilities. A big task of mine, Jason, is threading the needle to pass this legislation when you're looking at the smallest Republican, well, actually the smallest majority period of any party since pre-World War I. And so we got a little bit of a challenge before us, but I'm not afraid of any challenges.
And that kind of gets me to my next question. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that when whatever this package comes to the floor, because of the narrow majority, like 3 to 5 members of your caucus could stand up and say, we're not going to pass this because the SALT deduction isn't what we like, or we want a bigger child tax credit, or I don't know, we want to like eliminate all taxes on crypto or something like that. How is that going to make it challenging to actually get something done, given that like members of your own caucus could have tremendous amount of leverage over the final product?
You know, if you look at it, on January 3rd, when the new Congress takes an effect, it will be 219 to 215. And then you will see a resignation of Michael Waltz on January 20th when President Trump is sworn in because he's going to be his national security advisor. That will bring us down to 218. You have Elise Stefanik, who is in the process of being confirmed to be the UN ambassador. When she is confirmed, it'll be a 217-seat majority to 215. So you can't even lose one if you do it solely by Republicans. So it will be a very significant challenge in balancing that. The issues that you brought up, SALT, even crypto, but also debt and deficit are going to be part of it. It's one of the reasons why I've been advocating for a comprehensive bill, because you need buy-in from everyone in order to move this package. But I also expect that the tax package that I'm going to be fighting for and pushing for and crafting, because all tax policy has to originate in the committee that I'm chairman of, I'm going to make sure it is tax policy that delivers for working families, small businesses, and farmers. Those are my bosses in Southeast and South Central Missouri, and that's what I want to deliver on. And I think some Democrats might actually vote for it.
My last question for you, I know that you're a member of the House and you do not have a say in who the president's cabinet is, but you do have jurisdiction over the IRS, and the president has nominated one of your former Missouri colleagues, Billy Long, to lead that agency. Having interacted with him throughout 2022, I think that his like bumbly country persona is kind of an act. He's actually a very sharp person and a very intelligent person, but I think he is facing a little bit of pushback. Like, is he really qualified to lead this agency? There's questions about a tax credit that he has been kind of, promoting in his out of office years. How do you think that he will handle running such a major agency if he's confirmed? And do you think that you can have a good working relationship given your time with him?
So let me just say, in the last 24 hours, I've met with him here in my office and talking about a lot of my concerns that I have at the IRS. You know, I work with the IRS commissioner a lot because our committee has oversight jurisdiction over the IRS. And I was highlighting numerous areas that I think that the incoming administration, when he's commissioner, what they need to look at. I think Billy Long is a perfect choice. Billy comes across like he's just a country bumpkin, but he's the smartest person in the room. Don't doubt it. He can just tie people up because of his intelligence. And you know, there's not too many people that's paid more taxes than him. He's been quite a successful businessman before he was ever elected to Congress. And when you serve in Congress for 10 years, like what Billy did, You know the IRS pretty well. You work with it. He's qualified. He can do it. He will get confirmed. I'm pretty proud, and I plan to work hand in glove with him to make sure that the IRS is working for the people, not the people scared and beholden to the IRS. They should be an agency that provides customer service and makes it an easy process. You shouldn't have to call the IRS and wait 4 hours to have them address your issues.
Congressman Jason Smith represents Missouri's 8th Congressional District in the U.S. House, and he is the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. Congressman, thank you for joining me today.
Always great to be with you, Jason.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.